What's up, y'all? Welcome to our YouTube channel, Africans Talk Football. Appreciate your guys' continued support. Don't forget to like and subscribe.
So welcome back to another episode of Africans Talk Football, where we bring you fresh soccer news highlighting the Africans and African-Americans who have seen success within the sport. We'll bring you news from our favorite teams within the Premier League, MLS, as well as informing you on other top European leagues and soccer news worldwide. Whether this is your first episode with us or you've been rocking with us from the jump, again, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our friends and supporters. Again, my name's Cornelius. I'm joined by my boys and fellow co-hosts. Gabriel, how you feeling?
I'm all right, man. So I'm how you feeling?
Great, man. You know, Mike?
It's nice and sunny out here, so, you know, I have no complaints. How about you, Cornelius?
Yeah, Ohio's starting to heat up. Last week was... it was a little cold, but today is 50 degrees. I looked at the weather for the next week. Should be in the 50s here. So spring's on its way, man. You know, that's a good thing. That means soccer is in full swing, like we kind of been talking about. You know, the NWSL is coming up here in a week and getting its first matches. We'll talk about that in a second. MLS is going. Prem is going. Champions League is going. It's going right now, so... Cannot complain. Like I said earlier, we're going to actually start highlighting the NWSL this year. Just tap more into the women's game. Obviously, a lot of us know the World Cup is coming here to the United States in 2026. So figure it's just, you know, a good time to just start covering more of the game. The women's side has seen just, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last year, but the women's game is growing. It's crazy to see what's going on over there. We just started off the year with, you know, they had a cup, Orlando Pride versus the Washington Spirit. It was, I didn't end up watching the match, but I did see highlights, ended up going to PKs. It's the women's game is crazy, man. They got some ballers over there, but I know Salam saw a little bit of it. Challenge Cup, Orlando 1-1 and went into penalties 4-2. It's just going to be, I think it's a good start to the season, and it's very telling of where this season's going to be. I feel like the parity is going to be close. A lot of these teams are close. There are a lot of ballers out there, so it's going to be cool to see, you know, the women's game. But want to start with the MLS. Salam, did you have anything to talk about the women's?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I just wanted to shout out Aubrey Kingsbury, the goalkeeper for Washington Spirit. She's from Kingshammer. So shout out to her and doing her part and getting the job done. And the coach said before the game that they wanted to this was the rematch of the final last year. Mm-hmm. So the coach said that it wasn't about, you know, what happened in the final last season. It was more so about making a statement going into this season. And I think that they did just that. So, yeah, shout out to them. Shout out to the NWSL. We're definitely going to be following it. And it should be a fun season.
Yeah, I feel like this is like the equivalent of a community shield. So I it's very nice to start off the season with something. It gives you a little bit of that energy and just like belief that you can actually go far in the season. So shout out to both of those teams. But want to keep it in the U.S. for now and talk a little bit about the MLS. Start with our Ohio teams, of course. Undefeated on the weekend. Start with Columbus. It was a 0-0 draw against Houston. I know we talked about it last week, but Mike's been saying this since the beginning of the year. It's going to be hard to find these goals with Cucho no longer on the team. Obviously, we have Rossi, we have Russell Rowe on the crew who have been doing their part. But Mike, 0-0 match at home against Houston Dynamo. How did you feel about it?
You know, I left the game thinking overall, I think, you know, the Columbus crew, we do a lot of things very well. There are a lot of things that we do very well. What my concern is right now, it seems like Rossi in attack is our only really threatening guy. We are not creating enough chances for us to even score goals. If you look at the midweek game against LAFC, I mean, completely destroyed. And it did not, there was no point in the game where you felt like, you know, we had a chance. We just didn't have a chance in that game. And you look at the next game we played, which we just played last night against Houston Dynamos. There weren't a lot of chances for me to be like, okay, we should have won this game, or maybe, you know, hey, you know, we were better than them. I mean, yeah, we played well, you know, we didn't concede. We did a lot of things well. But then again, it was just empty, you know? You don't have that guy. Well, we have Rossi, but he's not that guy. I don't think he can do it alone on this team. Not on this team. He can't do it by himself. So I think they might have to look at bringing somebody in. I just don't know, man. What? We've played 3 games now, I believe.
Yeah,
match week 3. We've scored what? 2 goals?
I mean, the first game you scored
4 goals. Three matches played so far, 3 league goals so far for the Columbus Crew. That's only not good 3. Enough.
Nah, only 3 so far. You guys got 4 on the first game when y'all played Chicago. They gifted
it was 4-2, right?
Yeah, because they scored 3 in the first half. And then maybe for him, I don't know what his goal tally is, but
5 league goals, I believe, in 3 games.
Yeah.
And that's not good enough. So we'll see what happens.
Still feeling good about our bet.
I still feel good about our bet. I feel like we're not gonna be horrible, but we're just
not gonna be horrible.
We're not gonna be the same team like we were last season. At least as of right now, I don't have that confidence.
Hey, Will Fernandez can't score goals for you, so he can do a lot. I don't think he can score the goals for you too.
Yeah, that's funny. Speaking about our other Ohio team, since he got back to winning ways, 2-0 against Toronto. Kevin Denke with a penalty, and then shout out Kubo with a 88th minute goal to clinch. Honestly, watching the highlights, Cincinnati was on it from the first half. You could tell that they were just dominating. They had a goal hit the post very, very early, I think like in the 20th minute, and then they also had another one hit the post right before halftime. So, I mean, first half, you could tell the goal was coming. I think it took them a little bit longer than it should have to get the goal, but Salam, how'd you feel about the win?
I mean, the win was great. It wasn't pretty by any means, but what was important is that we got the 3 points and we were able to bounce back after a tough week, and especially in the last MLS Cup game that we had, in the last league game that we had, we lost to Philadelphia pretty bad. So to be able to bounce back was huge for us. And hopefully this serves as a confidence booster because, you know, midweek we go up against Tigres in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. So, and they're one of the best teams in, I'd say, North America. At the moment. So we got to go there on Tuesday on the first leg, and then the second leg is here in Ohio. So, hopefully it serves as a confidence booster, but we're just warming up, man. We got a lot of people that are still yet to come back from injury. A lot of people, Aurelio is back now, so hopefully we can get him up and running. And then the biggest one, man, is our offense hasn't really clicked yet. Once Evander and Denke click, I think, you know, we're going to be a whole nother team. And then you add in Miazga coming back into the picture, and we'll be all right, man. We just got to, you know, we got as easy as it sounds, we just got to figure it out.
Yeah. So Evander came off the bench. What did you think about that?
I thought it was fine. I mean, he played big minutes in the midweek game. So, you know, I just think that we're at a place right now in the season, early on into the season, where, you know, we're already having to manage these multiple competitions. Not just him, but Obina came off the bench as well, too, and he's a big player for us, especially in the midfield. So, I had no problem with it, man. I think we obviously know most of the players that I feel like, you know, should do the heavy lifting. But the one thing I like about this team in particular is that I think we have a lot of depth. So I'm not really worried about the rotation. Evander came on, and I felt like we looked like a whole different team when he came on. So, shout out to him, man. Shout out to Cincy. I think we're second or third in the Eastern Conference right now. So, as it stands.
Already talking about table. That's crazy. Hey, table talk never over. Right now, Philly's in 1, Columbus in 2, Cincinnati's in 3rd. So, if we really want to look at the table 3 weeks in, you guys are right up there at the top.
Right up there.
No, that's funny. I did want to highlight a few other games because I want to talk about LAFC for a second, because they did play Mike, you know, and the Columbus Crew midweek 3-0 thrashing of the Crew. But then they come back on the weekend and a big 5-2 loss to the Seattle Sounders. So right now LAFC is 2-1 in the league, but they look kind of, you know, it's hit or miss so far. What do we think about LAFC? Do we think this team can two-peat? Do we feel confident that this team is strong enough to go the distance? How do we feel about them just very, very early in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think to answer your question, I think the one thing that I've seen from these 3 weeks of the MLS is that the competition is actually very, very close. You know, there's teams that we have this, you know, idea of like these should be the top teams, but we're seeing that it's almost like, and I'm not comparing it to the Premier League, but you know how in the Premier League it's kind of like anybody can beat anybody.
Mm. Yeah.
Anybody can draw anybody. We saw that today. Right. But it's like, to answer your question about LAFC, I mean, I think that they'll be okay, man. I think not just them, but the Galaxy too, man. I don't know what it is. I feel like they start off slow and then, you know, you open your eyes and you know, midway in the season, June, July, and, you know, they're up in the mix. So I think that they'll be fine. They still haven't had all their players come back. And I think, like I was saying earlier about Cincy, I think it's just about managing your players at the start of the season with these cup competitions, because you do well in the CONCACAF Champions Cup, I think you get placed in the Club World Cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's big. That's big money. And I think, I don't know if you guys heard. Did you hear about the that's a billy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you almost. That's a whole separate conversation. But I just feel like, I mean, it's almost in your best interest to start off the season like focused on these League Cup games, so that you know you can potentially get some of this bread. So I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I agree with Salam. I think they'll be fine. I just wanted to shout out Jordan Morris. He became Seattle's all-time, you know, leading goal scorer. So that's pretty cool. And he's also from Seattle. So he was able to do it in front of the home crowd. So that's actually pretty cool.
Where'd you guys rank him in like MLS strikers? Because I mean, he's had a great career if you kind of think about it.
Mm-hmm.
He has
had a great career.
American strikers in the league. I mean,
you think he's top five?
No,
he has to win first for me.
I don't know if he's even in my top 10.
Hold on, let's answer his question. I think his question was American strikers in the league.
American though,
in all time,
he's definitely top five. He may be top
just
two.
American, just American.
He may be top two. I mean, when I think of American strikers, no particular order, I'm thinking of him. I'm thinking
Clint Dempsey.
Josh
Clint. Oh, you're talking about all time? Or are you talking about right now?
That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about all time.
Oh, yeah.
No. I thought you meant right now. No, shout out Jordan Morris, but no.
Is he top in your top 10 of all time American strikers?
I think he has a case for top 10, but I don't know if I'll put him top 10.
I'm thinking top 10 strikers, Dempsey's up there. Do we kick? Is Donovan a striker?
No.
I wouldn't consider Donovan. Eddie Johnson's definitely up there.
Yes.
Josie Altidore.
Josie, for sure. Up there.
Would you consider, what's Wondolowski considered American or no?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I was going
to say,
Wondolowski.
Chris Wondolowski, by the way, is MLS.
Josie Zardes?
You gonna put Zardes up?
No. I'll put Zardes over him. Yeah,
over Morris,
because that's where it gets sticky for me.
Zardes has won the league a couple of times. He won it with
You're right.
100%.
Yeah, that.
Wait, Jordan Morris doesn't have one. He hasn't won an MLS Cup.
He has.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Seattle. He's been, I don't know, man. Shout out to Zardes. I'd have to side with Jordan.
I would say top 10.
Is he better than, these recent guys though too. Haji Wright, and is he better than Haji Wright?
He's had longevity in the MLS.
That's why we're saying, are we just talking American strikers or American MLS strikers?
No, I mean, I would just say American strikers.
All right, just American strikers.
I think we'll have to come around to this segment.
I think we would have to.
We'll have to come back to this.
We can come back. But I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
Jordan, I would think Jordan Morris is pretty high up there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done it at all levels too. You know, he's played
in He broke on the national team very young too. So he's got a lot of national experience.
Very, very young. He had a stint in Europe too, no? Fulham? Did he have a stint in Europe?
I don't think he did. I think he stayed here.
I don't think so.
I feel like we damn near watched his whole
career. I know.
I think there was a time where he was supposed to go to Europe, but I don't think he ever made that jump.
Yeah. He
played it. He went to Swansea for a season. Yeah, man, I remember this. 2021.
You're right.
He only played 5 matches. I knew it was some type of team that was. It was the championship, but yeah, he went to Europe for a bit.
Good shout.
I don't remember. He spent some time in Europe. Yeah, he went there for a year and then went right back to Seattle.
He might be up. He up there.
I mean, he got the Gold Cup with the U.S. team in 2017, MLS Cup in 2016 and 2019, CONCACAF Champions League in 2022. Whoa.
Hey. We got to put some respect on Jordan Morris, I guess.
That's what I'm trying to say.
A fair question, bro. That's a fair question.
Top five? That's kind of crazy.
At least top 10, he has an argument.
He's top 10. Top 10, I was comfortable with top 10.
I just wanted to pose the question. That is it. Because I was like, he's had a pretty decent career. I'm not gonna lie.
That's a good question.
All Seattle too. You don't see a lot of players like, you know, stick with one team as well. Outside of going to Swansea for it, but he didn't like switch any MLS teams or anything like that. So it's pretty dope.
But to be from Seattle, you know, the hometown boys love to do it for them. So that's cool, man. Shout out Jordan Morris. Definitely putting some respect on his name. Just a few other games I wanted to highlight in the MLS. Philadelphia Union moved to 3-0. Like I said, they're first in the East. And I just want to shout out Ty Baribo. Scored another goal. He's got 6 goals in 3 games. I know, Salam, you were talking about Kevin Denke for Golden Boot, but this guy coming out of nowhere. Hey, I told you. When they played Cincinnati, I was like, who is this guy? He just scored a hat trick. You know, and this guy just keeps scoring. So I just wanted to shout them out. Philly looks strong. I don't know if you guys were able to watch any of the match. I was busy this weekend, so I only caught up on highlights. But from what I'm seeing, man, this Philly team looks good. Another clean sheet, and this was away from home. How y'all feeling in the East about this Philly team? I know, Salam, you've had to see him once already, so.
I hate to be like reactionary, but like this is to me definitely the best team in the East so far. I know we can look over at Inter Miami and be like, you know, they should be the best team, but this is actually the best team, bro. It is 3 wins and 3 games to start the season, right? Baribo's balling. And I watched that game because it was one of the score lines that I thought, like, I was like, wow, you know, for the fact that they were being held the way that they were, and then for them to get 3 points out of nothing, I just feel like that's a sign of a good team, man. Even when you're not playing well, you're able to kind of get the 3 points like this away from home. You know, this is going to be one. I know it's early, but it's going to be one of the wins that they look back on and be like, wow, that was a huge 3 points considering that we didn't even really play our best.
I think, you know, this is crazy because Philly has always been a team that's always been in the mix. Like, I feel like they maybe had like one down year, you know, like maybe 7 years ago or something like that. But I feel like they've always been in the mix. They've always been a really, really solid team in the MLS. And they just, I feel like, you know, they just haven't been able to get over the hump. You know, they went to the MLS Cup, was that 2022, I believe?
Yeah.
And lost. Mm-hmm. So I think with Baribo balling, if he continues to do this, this may be the year they can potentially get over the hump. you know, the MLS is kind of wide open. I mean, I think they're the best looking team so far, but like you said, on any given Wednesday or Thursday or Saturday or Sunday, you know, anybody can beat anybody, but you know, this is definitely showing as the best team right now. And if Breedbook keeps balling like this, then I don't know, man. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I mean, it's too early, but I think they look good. They look good. I'm looking at Inter Miami. I feel like this team could actually be what they are, even though, you know, Suarez looks really old. I feel like he needs to retire, but I still appreciate watching those guys, and I'm tipping them to be the best team. I mean, a team with Messi, you have to give him some credit. You have to give him some respect. So I don't know. It's too early for me to go with Philly, but I'm going to stick with Miami for now.
Speaking of, I wanted to get your guys' feedback on this. So, you know, apparently, like, a lot of people have been unhappy the Miami fans haven't been happy about, you know, they hear about Messi not playing, like, literally, like, an hour right before the game. And it's like, damn, like, there's a lot of people who are kind of like, we bought these season tickets, you know, we're expecting to kind of, you know, see him as a part of this product, and they're not. But I don't know if you guys have heard that. I just feel as if, like, hey, man, it's money talks, man. I can't play in all these games. This is load management. What are we talking about?
I think it was like the Houston Dynamo. They had released a statement because Inter Miami was playing away and Messi didn't play at that match. And they were like, hey, Houston fans, we just want to get ahead of it and apologize for Messi not being there. And it's like, why is the other team having to apologize for Messi? It's like, I don't know. It's just getting weird, bro. Because, you know, I don't want to compare it to the NBA, but we get mad at the NBA and load management, right? You know, these people spend their money. They want to see the big stars play, and sometimes they don't. And it's kind of trickling over to the MLS. I mean, not really, because it's Messi, and I think he's his own person, but it's still like, come on, bro. You got to play.
But what do you expect from him? Look where he is in his career. Like,
he's an aging superstar.
You want him to play every game? Like,
I mean, every he don't got to play every game. But it's like, bro, just 2 years ago, you were playing in Europe at the highest level. You were playing every match. I feel like I understand what you're saying, but come on, bro.
All I'm saying is, y'all think Messi going to Minnesota in March?
Nah.
Y'all think he's going to Denver in March? Hell no.
He's not going to Minnesota, but Houston, fam.
I know. Houston, yeah, he could have gone
to Houston. I understand the whole weather thing. Like, hey, it's a blizzard over in, yeah, I'm not doing it.
Did you see him in Kansas City? It was negative.
Bro, he played. He played. And that's my point.
Yeah, he played, and he was like, take these pictures now. You know what I'm saying?
Just leave. Messi ain't never had his nose hairs froze trying to walk outside.
What?
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, but unfortunately, I wouldn't even blame the players, bro. I blame the masses. They play too much. Everyone plays too much.
That's a fact.
I agree.
If you don't want players to sit all the time, don't have 80 matches in a calendar year. It's that simple, honestly. I mean, you can blame players all you want. And, like, even in the NBA, like, bro, you know how hard it is to play back-to-back?
Yeah.
And travel at that, you know? Like, in football, you don't do that. But still, in a football week, you might play Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. Like, you need 48 hours for your body to, like, actually recover. 2 days to actually recover and semi be, you know, kind of back to where you were. But in a week where you play three matches, you know, it's like, yeah, you get those 48 hours, but bro, there's so much wear and tear from the last two matches that when you get to that Sunday match, it's like, come on, man. It's yes, you can blame the players. You can say this and that and the third. And I understand from a fan's perspective, because if I bought tickets to a crew Inter Miami match and Messi and Suarez and Sergio Busquets all didn't come, I'd be like, dang. You know, it'd still be a great match, but I still want to see, you know, those players play. But, man, blame the masses, bro. Stop playing too many matches on the schedule.
No, I agree.
Just catch me on the return leg, man.
Catch me in Miami.
Yeah, he's got to catch me in Miami.
No, that's funny. Just a couple of other games I wanted to highlight. Shout out San Diego, man. Undefeated. Expansion team has been undefeated. 2 wins and a draw. They beat Real Salt Lake away, which is huge for them. Still getting racking up these away wins as well. I want to shout out Anders Dreyer on San Diego. 3 goals in 3 matches. This is, I, you know, I was looking him up. He's a player, man. He Danish international. He's from Denmark, 26 years old. He was on Anderlecht. Most recently, he also won the league with Midtjylland, FC Midtjylland out there in the Danish league. So this is a player that San Diego went and sniped. He's 26, so he's still got some youth in him. He's hitting his prime right now. I know we talked about them a few weeks ago, but this San Diego team, man, they definitely have the West Coast on alert. I don't know if you guys were able to watch the match or see highlights, but I know we talked about San Diego and just kind of the atmosphere and the culture that, you know, they have over there, but it's on the pitch too. These guys can play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love what they're doing there. Everything about San Diego FC, man, I love what they got going on. Like Mike said it a few weeks ago, like this doesn't look like an expansion team. So yeah, man. And I mean, their best player is not even playing right now in Lozano. So he can come back. And then our boy Manu, man, the number one overall draft pick in this past MLS draft. Once he gets up and going too, like I think they definitely have a player in him. So I'm excited to see what they do this season, man. And they playoffs definitely first year in the league. If they can make the playoffs, that'd be a statement.
Yeah. I think the interesting stat for – sorry, Gabriel, 1 second. I think their interesting start for them is 1 goal conceded, 5 goals scored in their first 3 games. I think if they just keep doing what they're doing, who knows? The sky might be the ceiling for them.
Yeah, I think it's funny because even in, like, indoor, like, San Diego has always had great football teams, just – in general, there's always been ballers that come out of San Diego. Their teams are always good. So I wouldn't be surprised if this team makes the playoffs. Wouldn't be surprised if this team makes a run, if I'm being completely honest. Yeah, this team will be good for years to come. I can guarantee you that. Promise you that.
And shout out Patty McNair, man. He was, you know, from Man United's academy. He was playing back. I don't know if you guys remember, but when Van Gaal was
McNair, yeah,
it was McNair and Tyler Blackett and you know Borthwick Jackson. So yeah, shout out to him, man. I saw him and I was like, wow, okay, Patty, San Diego.
Yeah, man. Nah, that's what's up, man. Shout out San Diego, and then our neighbors to the north. Before we get into the Premier League, I just wanted to shout out Vancouver, man. Vancouver also sitting at 3-0. Only 3-0 team in the Western Conference, sitting right above San Diego in second place with 7 points, and then San Jose in third place with 6 points. So, yeah, I mean, those California teams right now, there's a lot going on, whether it's L.A., San Diego, or San Jose. It's going to be a tough, tough battleground. I'm going to actually start peeping those, like, within state matches, like, you know, the San Diego, San Jose, LAFC, LA Galaxy. We already know what that game brings, but now with these other California teams also, you know, showing out these first 3 weeks, I think it's going to be a very, very interesting season. Yeah, it's just been fun to watch through these first 3 weeks, Champions Cup, all that stuff going on. So shout out to MLS and the US soccer on this front as well. But let's get into the Premier League a little bit. All of our teams play today, which is Sunday. No losses on the day, so shout out everybody who played. But, you know, some might be happier than a point than the others. So let's get to the nitty-gritty, man. A game we all got to talk about, Manchester United, Arsenal. 1-1 draw at Manchester's home. I don't know. It's very Old Trafford at this point.
Wow.
Wow. Shout out Bruno for a magnificent goal. And then Decker's also able to get it done. Honestly, United for me should have won this match. I'm not going to hold you. I think the first half was essentially, for me, until that Bruno goal, I was bored. You know, the first half to me kind of lulled. There were some chances, but it just seemed like both teams were trying to fill each other out. I didn't think that Arsenal was I didn't think Arsenal was confident in their attacks in that first half, to be honest. They felt like they were playing a little timid to me. Again, this is a game where I expected to see more from Odegaard. And like I said in the group chat, I think Timber, since Saka has gone down with injury, has been Arsenal's best player. He's been their most consistent. He's been offensively and defensively reliable. He's scoring goals. He's giving assists. He's able to stop their best player. So for me, I think Timber has been the shining light since Saka's gone down. But, you know, when United somehow United, when they're in a rut, they seem to just ruin other people's days. And, you know, right now, Arsenal has the same point gap from 12th place all the way up to the gap that they have to first place. So I want to start with Gabriel, because a few weeks ago, you and Mike went back and forth talking about the league's not over. Liverpool can still slip. Arsenal still has chances to get these points back. I mean, a few weeks later, you know, you haven't been here, so we're going to go to you first. How did you feel about the match, and how do you feel about the season?
Just get out the way. The league's done. I think this match showed that the league is done. We don't care about the league anymore, putting all of our hopes in the Champions League. This match was just – there was no effort. It was just lazy. It was slow. It was you said it was boring. And I think I think this performance showed that everyone's hopes in potentially challenging for that even is just dead and gone. So that's dead. Accept it. Move on. Liverpool won the league. Great. Cool. In terms of this performance, honestly, you know, like I said, it was just, it was just poor. I think, you know, we shot ourselves in the foot with the goal. They can talk about, you know, the wall was too far back. It was like a lot farther back. Even Eriksen made a comment on it in the match. I mean, I think that's crazy. But beyond the wall, it's David Raya, man. I don't know what you're doing. Sorry, I don't know what you're doing. Because honestly, the free kick wasn't even that great. If I'm being completely honest, it was not that great of a free kick. Yes, it was on target. Yes, you know, he had pace and power on it. But bro, if you're a step over, literally, and not hugging your post, it's a save. It's a pretty comfortable save, too, if I'm being completely honest. So the fact that, you know, we got scored on in that way right before the half was just like, all right, man. Like, you guys don't care about this league anymore, at least this year. So, like, I mean, why should I? I think it's pretty obvious now that we're letting that be that, and we're going to challenge in the Champions League. So, you know, all in all, you know, Declan Rice, I think you've talked about Timber. I think Declan Rice has been absolutely amazing since Saka has went down as well. I think he's been one of our most consistent and best players since, offensively and defensively, as you said earlier. Offensively, again, he scored our goal. Defensively, made a crucial block on Højlund on a 1v1 chance where they could have scored and Mourinho got caught in the midfield. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what else you guys want me to say. Nine matches to go.
Say what you have to say for our end of season in studio award show. That's when you can just unload.
Oh, he might be frozen. I know. He was just madder. But yeah, like Gabriel was saying, I feel like, yeah, like I said, it was just boring in the first half. I thought Arsenal was uninspired. Gabriel, I don't know if you're on or not, but
sorry, I don't know what just happened. Sorry about that. But yeah, no, I mean, like I said, the league is done. I think that's pretty clear. And, you know, we have nine more matches in the league. And I mean, at this point, it'd be diabolical if we didn't get top four. I think that'd be ridiculous. But I mean, I think it's pretty clear that there's one team running away with it. So those are my sentiments. Nothing else to say.
Salam, I want to ask you specifically about your striker situation. Because, I mean, we saw Xerxes. You said he was hurt, you know, earlier, and you were surprised to see him start the match. Obviously, he got subbed early. And then you know, Rasmus, we can talk about him all day and his highlight reel of trying very hard in the box, but not getting the end result. And then obviously you have these young guys who are getting some looks, Cheeto. But for me, it's like y'all still, you know, we didn't talk about your midweek match, but y'all still have chances to go win something in this Europa League. But it's the goals for me. You know, Garnacho was doing his best, but when I look at your striker position, do you think you guys have enough? I mean, we could talk. I'm going to talk about the Prem, obviously, but do you think you have enough with the guys up top to actually go and compete in some of these matches?
That's a tough question. I mean, I feel like the easy answer is no, right? But like you said, in spite of all of our problems, and I've said this not only this year, but in previous seasons, like in spite of all of our problems, we still manufacture chances, though. It's mm-hmm. just the fact of we just don't put those chances there, right? I don't really want to dwell too much on it, but Rasmus Højlund is a player, to me, who looks like he's very low on confidence, right? He had the opportunity in the box where he took one more touch than he needed to, and then I think Declan Rice came back. I mean, good effort on his part by, you know, winning the ball back, but that was an opportunity I felt like he could have made. But from the three strikers that we have, man, he's kind of at the bottom of the pecking order. And I said this last week, like, I think that it's time that we start seeing Cheeto a little bit more, because Cheeto is, at least like when you watch him, it's like, okay, he's obviously a young player, but he's given us a little bit more than this other guy is. Xerxy, to me, is our best striker. Is he perfect? No. No player in this team is, but from what we have, he brings us something that we don't have, and that's the ability to keep the ball, especially up top. And I think that's important for a team that doesn't keep the ball. I think the furthest person forward, if he can, you know, buy you a few seconds to get, you know, the team forward, then yeah, I think that's going to help us. But I think he's our best striker right now. Obviously, that's a position that I would like to see us address in the summer, but for me, the game today, man, I don't really want to take too much time on it. I think that this was a much bigger game for Arsenal than it was for us, especially considering where we were in the league. Obviously, our role in today's game was to display spoiler. You know, as crazy as it sounds, I always believe that we have a shot against these bigger teams because, you know, traditionally these players have shown that they like to play a counter-attacking style, so you know, by letting Arsenal have the ball and do what they do, that kind of suits us. So, you know, we know how to really kill a game. You know, most of my locks of the week this season have been under in a United game because I know that, like, hey, if we need to kill a game, we sure do know how to. But nah, man, I mean, yeah, bro. I think we could have won the game today. I thought 1-1 was a fair result. I think it was terrible not picking up Declan Rice where he was in the box. I don't know if you guys remember, but he had that much time on a corner kick when Odegaard mm-hmm. served it up and he yeah. shot. And it's like, yeah. again, no one's pressuring. But, you know, with United, you don't need to play defense because, I don't know, it's just how it is. But, no, I mean, it was a bigger game for Arsenal than it was for us. Our hopes are all strictly Europa League. But as far as the title goes, it's over. Over. I got one more, too, actually. It's not over, but it's over.
Over my dead body.
Hey, man.
Yeah, man. It's about
started a few weeks ago, man. It's been over.
It is. And honestly, it for me, when Saka went down, I ain't want to say none, but that was it for me. Because I know, and it's no shade, but I know who Odegaard is, and he's not that guy. He's not. Gabriel said it. When Odegaard went down, yeah. Saka held it down.
Mm-hmm.
And when Saka went down, what did Gabriel ask Martin? Please, just hold it down.
What did he ask to call her?
He ain't got the juice, man. And it's sad, but like, And Gable's been gassing Saka for a while, and I'll end on this, but Gable's been gassing Saka for a while, and I know we've thrown around world class and who's this and who's that, and I feel like a lot of us took us a little bit longer to give Saka that recognition. But bro, last year for me was it. Like last year for me was the year where I was like, nah, this cat's different. You could tell. You know, he was consistent every match, and this year he was just adding on that and taking it to a next step, goal and assist every game. I mean, like, look, at some point he was the assist leader in the league. I don't know if he still is after being out for a month plus. That just goes to show how much head and shoulders he was above everybody before he went down. So for me, I really was like, and I said it on the pod a few times. I said, look, Odegaard, I'm looking at you, bro. You're the captain. You're the one who has the armband. You got to hold it down. And shortly after, he showed me that he couldn't do that. So for me, I didn't want to be too premature because I wanted to let things play out. But I said it, man. It was on Odegaard. It was on Odegaard. We're over here talking about who's the best player since Saka went down. Is it Timber or is it Declan Rice? It should be the captain. You know, it should be the guy who's the real Madrid wonder kid. But unfortunately, he's just not that guy. So it's tough for me because this year was Arsenal's year. They looked really, really good to begin the year, but injuries are part of the game, like we always say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, to end, like, we have no senior attackers for the past, I don't even know, 2-3 months. So, like, as much as, like, honestly, all banter aside, like, all jokes aside, as much and as bad as, like, we should be performing, or, like, how far, like, you know, how well, or, okay, what I'm trying to say is, for how poor performances have been and for the results that we've been getting, like, what more do you expect, bro? Like, Liverpool had a front three down. Salah and who's their starting striker? Jota and
Diaz.
Diaz all went down and were out for, like, our front three haven't even played with each other most of the year consistently to, like, even get in a consistent groove. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's unfortunate, man. I just think that a lot of tough but much needed lessons were learned this year. And I wouldn't even say that previous years. I would say, you know, I think previous years were really just like experience and the experience of, oh, you're leading, the experience of being in those positions for the first time, you know, or for at least for the first time for this group, you know, and a lot of young players and even the senior players, they haven't been in that position before. I think it was just an experience thing. But this year, I thought all that experience would come together, and it was. And it's unfortunate that Odegaard went down in the first couple months. Saka went down. Ben White's been down. I mean, our whole front three, Kai Havertz is down. Like, it's just unfortunate that everyone went down, and it's been consecutively happening over months. So it's just unfortunate. But, I mean, this I think when we come down to it, this season is to teach us that, one, you have to rotate players. You have to give players a rest.
You said that in New York, bro. That's I go back to that clip, man. Like she should have been playing those younger guys.
Yeah, you have to play these younger guys sooner if guys are good enough. And this is the thing. We saw it in preseason. We saw Heaven play in preseason. He looked decent. We saw Nwaniri play. We saw Lewis Skelly play. We saw all these guys play, and we said, hey, they look ready to play prem minutes. And it took too long for you to make that adjustment. And look where we're at now. On top of that, on top of all of those things, right, the injuries, the not playing, you know, young youth players earlier, not managing your players correctly, you don't address the biggest problem for three windows now. The biggest problem that we have, you don't address for 3-4 windows now. We want to buy 60 million defenders. We want to buy $40 million midfielders, you know, $30 million whatevers. We want to buy $5 million goalkeepers. How many keepers do we need? Seriously. How many outside backs do we need to buy? How many? I understand you have PTSD from the past 2 years, but bro, there's a glaring issue in stubbornness again. And I don't know the sporting director stuff and all of that, but again, you guys fail to address a serious issue in the transfer window. And this is where we end up. It's just that simple. Because if we have a striker in the beginning of the season, these results are looking different. Some of these draws are wins. And yeah, we have these injuries. Yeah, it would be tough, but the gap wouldn't be, what is it, 16 points right now? 15 points? The gap wouldn't be this big. So it's like, I don't know. You know, that's the last thing I have to say. But I think, you know, this wasn't an experience here. I think this was a year for the club and Arteta to learn and really to take a look at themselves and realize how they're managing and how they're performing as an admin team. And if they don't get that together this summer, this team might not win anything for another 20 years. No joke. Just put that out there. A big one. If we don't have a good summer, this team might not win anything for literally another 20 years. No, I'm not trying to be funny. So that's the thing that I said.
I got a question for you. So if you guys finish top four, would you consider the season a successful season?
No.
We're still in Champions League.
We're still in Champions League. And I have very strong thoughts about Champions League and what I think may happen. I'll save that for another day. It doesn't need to be right now. But no, in my eyes, the only way this season can be successful, if I'm being completely honest, is if we win Champions League. In my eyes, that's the only way that this season can be considered somewhat a success, if we win Champions League. This season so far is turning out to be a complete and utter failure, if I'm being completely honest. We're still in the cup, so I'm not going to say, no, it is. But how it's panning out right now, complete and utter failure. This is a step back for me. And this exposed a lot of our players. Honestly, there's some of our players that, you know, we've been relying on, and when we really need you, this has opened my eyes a lot. And I hope that, you know, the manager can also see some of those things, because Yasser and I have talked about it. We're building around the wrong guy. There's one guy on our team that we need to build around. It's one guy. His name starts with a B, and his last name starts with an S.
No BS.
That's BS.
No BS. No BS. I feel you.
And it's no BS. So
shout out to Yasser, man.
We clearly, I think the proof is in the pudding. The guy goes down. One guy goes down. We stay in the race. Another guy goes down. We're far off it. Far off it. So I think it's a very clear black and white situation. There's no gray area with this. This is very black and white. No pun intended, because I know it's a black and white player. But this is a very clear cut, cookie cutter, anyone can 2 + 2 = 4 equation type thing. It's very clear. There's one guy you need to build around. There's one guy you need to cater to. There's one guy that we need to do whatever it takes to make him successful and to build around him so the team is successful, and that's Bukayo Saka. So whatever you need to do, we need to buy a striker so he can get more assists. We need to give him a rest in some moments because we know these young guys can play. That's what we need to do. But we can just finish talking about Arsenal, because I'm going to crash out.
Shout out to Yasser. I just wanted to say, hold on real quick. Yasser, have my 3 points ready. Have my 3 points ready. I'm looking right at you.
Man. Shout out to Gasser. Shout out to Gasser.
Dora, Yasser, I got him on this next segment too.
That's crazy. So I know Mike, you got a little time crunch, so I'll just hand it over to you. Chelsea 1-0 win at home, thank God. 3 points and we move. I said it in the group chat. CP stinker. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, like Mike said a few weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, every player goes through, you know, a point in their career where it's just you're out of form, you lack a little confidence, you go into that little bit of a rut. And I totally expected it, but to miss the penalty, and I'm not gonna lie, bro, when he went up, the whole body language showed me that he wasn't ready to take it. Like, the body language was showing me that it wasn't his most confident pen. But regardless, shout out Cucurella with the goal. Very good goal. Shout out Enzo Fernandez. Yeah. I've been very critical of him. I thought he had a great game today. Shout out Caicedo as well. Also thought he had a very good match. But Mike, your takeaways from the game. And then how do you feel right now about Cole Palmer? Because, you know, you were calling it a little bit of a rut, but it's been a sustained thing now.
Yeah, Buddy's struggling right now. Cole Palmer is really struggling right now. I called the PK miss, man. I told Sierra, when all that hoopla was going around the spot, I was like, he's made 12 in a row, you know, of course. He's having a little dry spell. This is the perfect time for him to miss it. I think he's going to miss this one, and he missed it. I'm not saying he did it on purpose or anything. That's not what I meant, but I just felt like he was going to miss it, and that's what ended up happening. This team, man, we're in such an interesting spot, man. I said I was confident. You know, top four is attainable for us. When I look at our schedule coming up, man, and how we're coming out of Leicester City game, I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm still confident. I think we have the personnel to get results. I think we can get results, but the way we're coming out of these games, man, I'm not very confident. Even midweek, we went to Copenhagen. It wasn't a 2-1 impressive win. It just wasn't impressive at all. Today wasn't impressive at all, but we still got the results. And when you're in a position where you're fighting for top four and fighting against other teams, well, like City, Newcastle, even Brighton now is in the mix. You know, these results matter. Just getting a result matters. So I can't fault them for that. I'll give them the credit for, you know, at least seeing out the win, you know, clean sheet. You know how we get. We concede at all times. So if we can get a game where we don't concede, hey, I'm happy with it. But like I told you a couple of weeks ago, I was confident. I'm telling you right now, I'm not too confident. Because this game was not a game we should have, you know, just struggled to get out of. And we just didn't finish the game the way we should have. We should have had a couple more goals, you know. Especially leading into next week. But what can you do? Got the 3 points. We just move.
Yeah, I want to before anybody just goes, I want to look at the table because you did bring up the tables speaking about Brighton. So right now, Nottingham Forest, 51 points in third place. Chelsea, 49 points in fourth place. Man City, 47 points in fifth place. And then Brighton, 46 points. Aston Villa, 45 points. Bournemouth, 44. Newcastle, 44. So, I mean, when you look at it, and shout out to Nottingham Forest. If we have some time, we can talk about that in the City game. We can even talk about it right now. You know, that's another 1-0 win that they needed, you know, because when you look at the top four right now, it's very, very sticky. You know, there are about seven teams right now that are all fighting for two or three spots because Arsenal's really not out of the weeds either. They're currently sitting on 55 points, only 4 points above Forest. So when you look at Arsenal all the way down in Newcastle, 11 points might seem like a lot, but with everybody playing each other and the way that the games are going right now, 2 to 3 weeks can change a lot. So, I mean, I told you at the beginning of the year, I thought Chelsea would finish fifth place. Midway through the year, I was still thinking fifth place. But now that I look at us in fourth, I think having that 2-point gap, 3-point gap above some of these teams is major right now. Because just like you said, some of these wins are not pretty at all. Like, we're getting by, barely. Yeah. Like, we're getting by. And so for me, it's just how can we continue to keep managing these games? You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, we're throwing out a lot of different lineups. You know, we saw Chalobah today, you know, get like real time. Mm-hmm. You know, we're seeing a lot of different players. Reece James, not at all. So we're still rotating players. Players are still being, you know, looked at. I'm seeing Lavia's getting looked at, maybe coming back. But can we really rely on him to put in a shift? It's just right now we have to we got to go with the guys we got. And for me, it's tough because I don't know if this crew is the crew to get some of these results.
Yeah, man, we have a tough schedule coming up. That's why some of the games we'd lost before the last two games, it was harder to take. Like the Villa game, that was a game we shouldn't have lost. I hate going back to that game, but you know, it's good to see, you know, Fofana back. We're getting guys back, you know, healthy. Maria Shields back, but I am not as confident as I was at least 2 weeks ago. Based on the performances I've seen the past 2 weeks, I'm just not very confident. We saw Arsenal today. We saw how United played Arsenal today. I don't think Arsenal's going to look like that next week. Arsenal's not going to look like that next week. So it's going to be an interesting game next week. And I think it'll be a very big test next week. How we look next week will tell me if we finish top four. Because all the top 10 teams, really, if you look from four through like nine, the gap is not really that big. And all those teams will be playing each other. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I don't know. You guys, you guys got a result?
Yeah.
You guys you're not playing your best and you're still getting results. So, I mean, goes to show that you're definitely moving in the right direction, and your best player has also been playing poorly and you're still able to get results. So you're moving in the right direction, but I can definitely see the frustration in it all. And yeah, you guys are in top four is not guaranteed. And I agree it's not guaranteed for us either. There's only one team that's guaranteed getting top four right now. So crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Arsenal right now is in a decent spot, but like it's scary, bro. Like, it's really scary when you look at these teams who are fighting for these top fours. I mean, you have some hungry teams in the cities in fifth place. You know, that goes to show where the state of the league is right now.
Yeah, City is not going to finish in fifth for sure.
You keep saying that, but. Do you think they get top four?
I think they
if they get top four, that means either us or Forest is out.
So I think I agree.
Mm-hmm. I don't think you guys make it.
I don't think we make it either. The more I look at these performances, I don't think we do. Sorry, so go ahead.
No, go ahead. This is all you.
No, I'm done.
No, yeah, I just feel as if like this team starts and stops with Cole Palmer. I understand that he's a great player, and he's obviously going through a period where he's not really contributing in terms of goals and assists, but I'll ask you guys on a later date. I don't know. I just feel like there's just so many just question marks around this team. Like, yes, we know like a few of the guys that we feel as if should be contributing week in, week out. But again, like there's just so many question marks around. I don't want to say people because then it's going to sound like I have an agenda or anything, but it's just like, look at your attackers, bro. Like, look at all of them.
Nkunku, Sancho, all these guys are not producing.
This was a vintage Chelsea game. You guys won, your defender scored. It's like, this is
honestly, you're not wrong.
Bro,
no, this was vintage Chelsea.
Bro, the other attackers, man. It's so easy to chat on Cole Palmer. Yeah, he's going through a tough period. But like, I don't know. Where's Sancho? Where's Neto? Where's Nkunku? Where's, you know, like these guys? You know, like we can do. I was doing this to be funny, right? We do this when everything. If bro would have made his penalty today, he would have done that. We'd be like, oh, he's back. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, but I wouldn't have said he was back. But I understand your concern, Slam, and me and Mike have the same ones. That's the issue. We have the same concerns. And it's like week in, week out, where are these goals coming from? And you said it. This was a vintage Chelsea win. Defender goal. We defended the hell out of the match. And it would feel good if it wasn't Leicester, one of the teams in relegation zone. If this was a team mid-table, if this was even this was a Fulham, you know, a Brentford, I'd be like, good, we got out. We got one, you know, we got our 3 points, we defended the bridge, but it didn't feel like that today. Like it felt nervy the entire match. So for me, I'm just like, we have to see some sort of improvement over the next 2 months, 3 months.
I think we're starting to see, you know, how, you know, Nicholas Jackson is important to this team. He Absolutely. Might not be finishing off his chances, but he really, you know, allows us to create a lot of chances. You know, his hold up play, you know, his distribution. I think we miss that. And when I'm watching guys like Nkunku and, you know, Jadon Sancho, you know, play today, it's just not good enough. Like, you have to do more. I feel like they're just not doing what they need to do. And if this continues, top four might not be in our future, but I'm hopeful.
Yeah, it's good to end the week on 3 points, though. I'll say that mm-hmm. just to end it, man. It would have been tough if it was a draw. It would have been really tough if today was a draw. But shout out to the boys, man. Gabriel, how do we do on our locks?
2-2, broke even. Yeah, Brentford couldn't get it done. Arsenal, obviously, couldn't get it done. But the under for Brentford hit, which was great. And Crystal Palace got the win over Ipswich 1-0. So 2-2, boys.
Shout out Ismail Assar.
Shout outs. Who you guys got? Shout outs.
I actually have a shout out. I know we were talking about women's sports earlier, but I don't know if you guys were able to see that that goal from Lisbeth Ovale.
Man, that song was cool.
Puskas, right now. Puskas. I said it as soon as I saw the goal. And then, and the crazy part is people be on the internet hating. They were like, I don't know if she actually meant to do that. And it's like,
it don't matter.
She flicked it and she was trying to flick it towards the goal, whether it was to the to a defender or to deflection to a teammate. Or she was actually, that was a crazy finish, fam.
Yeah, don't matter if she meant it or not.
Man, no, I know.
And everyone picked it up and they went around. Like, if you haven't seen the goal, go see it. It's Lisbeth Ovale. She plays for Tigres, Mexican international, I believe, as well. Yeah, shout out, man. Shout out to her. That was a crazy finish.
Nice. Yeah, my shout out is to Frank Lampard, man. What Frank Lampard is doing at Coventry needs to be talked about. They're currently sitting in fifth. You know, they have a chance to play for the playoff. Who knows? Frank Lampard might bring Coventry to the Prem.
That'd be insane, honestly.
I can't wait.
That's his level, and I'm glad, you know, he's doing well. I'm really glad he's doing well. Sometimes as some of these new managers, you just got to realize, hey, there's nothing wrong with managing a championship team. That's your level. You're going to get more time. Those guys are going to listen to you. So that's a good spot for him right now. Shout out to him.
My show actually might sound crazy, but Aiden Heaven, if I'm being completely honest, bro, you had an amazing second half.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing second half. And I always, I remember when, like, it was the beginning of the season, like, we were talking about, you know, players that we were seeing play for our teams in the preseason and how we wanted to line up. And we played like a lot of youth guys in our team. And I remember, I forgot who it was. Like, I forgot one of you asked me, like, who from, you know, your youth team would you want to see, you know, on your first team? And I remember, like, kind of being on the fence about Heaven, if I'm being completely honest. I was like, we kind of have already, you know, decent center back. You probably don't need to add him, but he looks like pretty decent when he was on the pitch. But I mean, today to come in and, like, you know,
yeah.
Coming at halftime for Euro, I hope Euro's okay because it looked like he had a knock. But to come in for Euro, and I mean, he made a couple big blocks, defended very, very well. Positioning was great. Really, really, he surprised me a little bit today. So, yeah, shout out Aiden Heaven, man.
No, that's a good one. Respect. I wanted to shout out the Chicago Fire, man. 3-1 victory over the FC Dallas. The first win in the Greg Berhalter era. They were down 1-0 whole game, 82nd minute. They ended up catching them slipping on the back post. 84th minute, 2 minutes later, they punished them for a mistake. And then they kind of sealed the game in stoppage time with penalties. So, yeah, man, 3 unanswered goals. I like what Berhalter's doing in terms of building this team and – yeah, shout out to them, man. But don't make too much noise in the East. Just enough. But yeah, man, I wanted to ask you guys before we wrap up. Right now, Charlotte and Inter Miami are about to play. So Zaha versus Messi. Messi's actually not.
What a surprise.
Yeah, Messi's actually not in the play. He's on the bench, though. He's on the bench. What are you guys' predictions for Miami and Charlotte?
I have Inter Miami 2-1.
Okay. Wow. I got to go 2-1 as well. I got to go 2-1 as well because I think Charlotte has enough to, you know, get a goal, but I still think Miami is stronger. They're a stronger team, so should be able to hold them. But we'll see. We'll see, man. This MLS season so far, I feel like Salam said, it's been close, man. It's actually been close. You know, 1 week this team is beating this other, another team. The next week, the same team is destroying somebody else. So, hey, you never know.
In Miami,
I'm
gonna go. I'm gonna go 2-2. Actually,
I like that.
I want to go 2-2. I see there being some fireworks, and I think Zaha gets another goal as well.
Okay,
I'll be tapped in though.
I like that. I like 2-2. I think it's going to be a draw. I don't see Zaha, especially, you know, this is kind of like, no disrespect to Atlanta, but like this is his like first big game versus like, you know, on the other side there's another guy who's like, no disrespect to Atlanta, Lati Lat, you know, striker for them, but yeah, like you said, I think a goal and assist.
And no lie, Zaha, he likes the bright lights, bro. He loves playing in front of the bright lights. He's got goals against all of our teams where we're like, ah, Zaha, man. So it's going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to be tapping in.
And then lastly, just quickly, Galaxy or St. Louis? I'm going to go St. Louis.
That's crazy. Galaxy has to get their first dub today.
Bro, yeah, I was going
to say. I'm going to St. Louis, man. Bro, they're at the bottom of the table, bro.
LA Galaxy.
I know. But they
have who's at home? Galaxy at home. Yeah, man.
Galaxy. Yeah. They have to get their first dub today. I was looking at that, like, bro, if you guys don't win today against, come on,
they'll definitely win today. Yeah.
Come on, St. Louis. Don't do me dirty, man. If y'all win, y'all gonna be my recap of the week. I swear, you guys will be my recap of the week.
I see the bet is in.
Crazy.
I told you so. Nah, good episode, guys. Again, you know, as the Premier League is coming to a close, we got MLS starting, USL starting, and WSL starting. So American soccer is in full swing. So we definitely have a lot to watch, especially as we go into the summer. So appreciate everybody for tuning in. Good episode, guys. As always, good luck to you in your future endeavors.